Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them they have always wanted to write. And I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as a part of their work. My co-host and producer for Right Here, Right Now is Kevin Finn. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tim.
I understand you really got to be working hard here real soon. You've got a whole bunch of shows coming in.
Yeah, we got about three or four more to try to fit into the studio.
So no rest for the weary, huh?
Not at all. We are busy as bees.
But we want that, don't we?
Exactly. It's better to be busy than not have any work at all, right?
Exactly. And also with me in the studio today, something we haven't done for a while, is my permanent guest host, Vanessa Lowry. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. And it's so much fun to be part of this show where we're going to be talking about chocolate and diamonds.
Oh,
I'm so excited that you invited me to come here. So this is going to be fun.
I never thought of it that way. I wondered why my wife wanted to make sure what time the show was on today. So, okay. Well, it's good to be with you.
Thank you.
Storefront businesses and entrepreneurs are not words that often go together. But for today's broadcast, they do. Most of the time, the guests I interview on Right Here, Right Now, I have only spoken with by phone. And I meet them for the first time when they come to the studio. Well, that's not the case today. I have the pleasure of interviewing two longtime friends, each of whom started their own businesses and occupy storefronts in Highland Plaza in East Cobb, Georgia. And I've been in their businesses many times. Julia Travis owns and operates Chocolate Jewels Candy Company, a brick-and-mortar retail candy store reminiscent of the old-fashioned candy counters of the past. And I got to tell you, I remember those old-fashioned candy counters of the past from my childhood. And Julia actually makes the candies in her candy kitchen, which says Julia's Kitchen right up at the top in the back of her store. And Doug Meadows is a third-generation jeweler who, with his brother David, established David Douglas Diamonds and Jewelry. They like to say they provide a friendly atmosphere for customers to shop with confidence because they are buying from a reputable family jeweler with a tradition of fine craftsmanship and service. People who listen regularly know I always go with ladies first, so Julia, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you here where I do my stuff. And I love going into seeing you at your place, I'll tell you.
Well, thank you.
Did you have a childhood dream, or has it been a long-term dream of having your own candy store?
It really has been a long-term dream. I think back to when I was a child and people asked me what I wanted to be, I would always say, you know, someday I want to have my own candy shop. And the thrill of it for me, I enjoyed cooking with my mom. My mom instilled a passion in me at an early age, and I kept thinking, this is so much fun to do at home, but it's so much fun to share with friends and neighbors, and how fun would it be to have, like, a place that had display cases where I could put all these things on display and other people could come look at it too and maybe even buy it. That would be so exciting.
Oh, that's a dream. That's a dream, isn't it?
That's right. That sounds, I love going to look at chocolate and love eating it even more. So what a cool thing to be able to do what you dreamed of doing as a kid and turn that into a business.
Right. Well, luckily for me, if my parents ever told me not to play with my food, I surely did not listen because I have a lot of fun playing with my food.
Oh, that's amazing. And you do write about it on your company website, about the story of cooking with your mom.
I do, yes.
And wasn't one of the first candies that you made, or it's become your trademark candy, her recipe?
It is. That's true. She has been making this English toffee recipe since the 1970s, and she has always made it for the holidays. It was just a holiday tradition. In the month of December, she would make up a few batches, break it up, give it out as gifts. And I started helping her with it as early as I can remember. You know, there's a little argument in our family. Was I 10? Was I 12? I don't really know, but it was the early years, I will tell you that. And I just loved helping her make this candy, and we'd package it in mugs one year, and that would be the gift. Or the next year, we'd package it in cute little tins, or we'd find a neat little holiday container, and it was always our holiday gift for family and friends and my dad's coworkers over at Kennesaw State University. Go Owls. And
For people not from Georgia, that's the local university. Okay.
And one thing led to another. We'd have it at holiday parties, and a family friend said, "Julie, this tastes so good. If you put it in a bag and tied it with ribbon, I would buy it from you." So I went out the next day and bought ribbon and bags.
Wow.
And started making.
Well, an English toffee is one of my all-time favorites. I think it is just one of the most delicious combinations of tastes ever.
Now I know why you're in here.
I know.
I just think it's really cool. You don't really hear about it a lot. Most kids, like, I want to be Batman when I was a kid, and that didn't work out. But it's always good to hear a kid that knows what he wants to do and go out and do it. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, you talk about your mom's toffee. My mom made caramels.
Mm.
And, you know, big trays of it. She cut it with kitchen scissors. I had to wrap it in the little wax paper, you know. It was Christmas. I was not happy. But that's what we gave out. But then again, she'd always give me some to take to my teachers. And that was fine, except when I got into junior high and senior high and would have many teachers, and they would say, "Where's my candy?"
That's right. You know? Can't short anybody.
Yeah. So how did you choose the location for your store?
Well, that's a funny thought, too. My parents actually went on a tour of all of East Cobb and were looking at various locations all throughout East Cobb that had some vacancies. I mentioned I was interested in possibly starting my own storefront and had finally convinced my parents that I had the know-how to do it and the drive to do it, and I was willing to work hard to make it work. And they were behind me, and they wanted to see it succeed, so they were helping me scout out different locations. And my dad narrowed down a list, and he had three that he really liked. And he said, "Well, let's take a look at these three." And it was funny that after going all over East Cobb and Cobb County looking for a location, that we ended up right around the corner. I remember when that shopping center, Highland Plaza, was mm-hmm. built. I was in the eighth grade at the time, and that was my hangout. You know, in middle school and high school, we'd go eat at the Mexican restaurant and mm-hmm. go catch a movie down the way, do some shopping at the old Kmart that used to be there and the Drug Emporium that used to be there. And it's always been a strong shopping center, well-kept and mm-hmm. beautifully maintained. So we thought this would be a nice place to start, and it's close to home. So I'd have the support of all those same family and friends who've been mm-hmm. eating our candy for years and telling us that we should go into business doing it. So,
and you send them out reminders every now and then. I am in business.
You know what?
Please come see
me. My neighbor sends me a reminder that he's the one who got me into business because he was the one who first, Mr. John Vanderveer, I got to give a shout out to him. He was the one who first got me into the Atlanta Mart, mm-hmm. Which allowed me to see some of the local vendors and who I could be possibly purchasing from wholesale mm-hmm. in order to start my business. And before that, he was one of my neighbors who would order up to 100 pounds at the holidays to hand out to his customers and his clients. So he likes to take credit for having gotten the ball rolling there. So
and there's still time for people to put in their orders, right?
There is still time
and
for
I
people to
give
put
you
in
a chance
orders.
Later on to Great. Tell them how they can do
sure,
that.
Sure, thank you.
Well, what's the toughest part of being a candy maker, candy store entrepreneur?
Oh, well, the toughest part of in general, For me, at my age, I am 30, tick, tick, tick. I have got a beautiful 2.5-year-old son, and my biggest challenge right now is trying to juggle family life and business life.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't sleep last night, so I got up at 4 a.m., and I went into the store, and I made about 25 pounds of my signature toffee, among other things. I left the store by 6:30 and made it home just before my son woke up.
Wow.
Got to spend some quality time with my husband and son and have breakfast together before leaving for the studio for the show this morning.
Wow.
So, and that's just how the juggling act works sometimes during the winter holidays, is I got to cook when I'm awake and spend time with my family when they're awake.
Now, do you have anybody else in your store that does the making of the candy, or is that strictly you?
I do. It would be incredibly difficult for me to keep up with 100 different types of candies myself. We've got 28 feet of candy cases. Each candy case has 4 rows, so you're looking at over 100 feet of candy, if you think of that.
Wow.
So over 100 different varieties. So over the years, I have taught employees how to make different things. And I'm very grateful for all the help that I have. I've been blessed with a really great staff, and I just love them all.
And the disgusting part is they're all thin. you go in and you see them and you think, well, this obviously isn't fattening. I can buy a lot of this stuff.
It's a marketing tool for them.
That must be it. It works. It works. Well, tell me, what do you believe sets your store apart from other candy stores?
Well, the fact that it's made fresh on site is a huge, huge difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, you next time you're in a tourist town, take a look. Anytime you see the word candy kitchen or candy factory, and you'll walk in there and you'll take a good look around, and maybe you won't know because your eyes aren't as trained as mine, but that's not made fresh on site. It's made in a factory somewhere and shipped in. You know, it's very disappointing for me to go to a place like, well, I guess I shouldn't name places out loud, but a certain theme park in this Atlanta area, and they have three different stores that all say factory, candy kitchen, or whatnot, and then you walk into it, and nothing is made there on site.
Oh.
Or maybe one or two items are made on site.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest difference for us is we make 80% of our candies fresh on site, including our truffles, and a lot of places can't say that.
So, Julia, I'm curious if you all ship your candy at all. I know that because you're on site and you've got so much of a following in your area that probably a lot of your candy is sold with walk-in traffic and people that come and pick it up. But do you do any shipment of
we do.
Your orders?
We do. We have a website, cjcandy.com, and we get orders from all over the United States. In fact, it's really interesting because just this week I got two orders for sugar-free cherries. And I don't know why, but sugar-free cherries seem to be a very hot commodity. I get orders from all over the country, shipping to different locations all over the country. So it's not just a customer here in Marietta who has been in my store is shipping to a relative somewhere else, or somebody else somewhere else is shipping to their relatives who are here in Marietta who likes my candy. It's person A shipping to person B, not living anywhere near me or having ever been in my store. So that's pretty impressive, and I guess says something for my website when they can take a look at my pictures and decide that I'm the store to go with.
That's great. I like that. What do you think people would be surprised to learn about your business? And I have no idea what I'm looking for an answer, but everybody, there's always a surprise when people start talking about, well, what do you do?
You know, this is probably not the direction you're going in, but I will tell you this. What comes to mind when you ask that question is, as a business owner now, my eyes are open to so many different things. If I find that I'm driving down the street, I am so much more aware of the businesses that are on the streets. And I'm sure it's the same for other business owners, too, that you are more aware of what's around you. Just the other day, my friend from the movie theater was in my store, and she started talking about the cost of movies and movie release dates, and now that their movies are being released at 10 p.m. instead of midnight, and I was just like, wow, that's something I bet most people, you know, never really think about, or, you know, what percentage goes back to the movie theater, and for every, you know, $10 movie ticket you're buying, only $1 is going back to the movie theater, and that's something that I just had never really thought of. So I'm sure people walk into my store and are surprised all the time by, you know, that we can't really make all that on site. You know, like, surely some of this isn't made here. And we look around and say, no, even the packaged things that we have packaged is stuff that we have made on site and packaged.
Wow.
So a lot of people are surprised by that. But there's just a lot of hard work that goes into it. And I think a lot of people don't realize, unless you've tried cooking and been in the kitchen and tried some of these decorating, personally decorating, hand decorating things, you don't realize exactly how long it takes and how hard it is to do.
How was the transition between going from your home kitchen and just cooking, making these candies for the love of it, to transitioning to the business side? Because I'm sure that was probably more work than you thought it was going to be.
I hate my home kitchen. It took me a couple of years to figure this out. So when I opened the store, we actually started the business when I was 22. My parents had just redone their kitchen, so they had a dream kitchen, and I loved working out of their kitchen. And I started working. I designed my kitchen at the store exactly the way I wanted it, and I've been very happy with it. And in 2007, I got married, and my husband and I moved into a house in Woodstock. And I just couldn't put my finger on it for the first couple of years we lived in the house. And it finally occurred to me one day, I didn't design this kitchen. I cannot stand this kitchen. So if I wake up in the middle of the night and it's October and I'm hungry, I want to make pumpkin bread. I mean, that's my October middle of the night routine. If I can't sleep, I make pumpkin bread. So I get in the car and I drive to my shop and I make pumpkin bread at my
store. You go to your studio?
Yes, in the middle of the night.
That's
in the
kitchen.
Middle of the night.
Oh, I love that. Well, the one question I tell my guests that I will ask, and that, what does writing play any part in your, you know, maybe it's the writing up of the invoices so that people pay you, but what part does writing play in your business?
It is really funny. It's really funny to hear people say, I don't like writing or I don't like arithmetic, because mm-hmm. both of those things are so present in our everyday life. For example, we were talking about caramels earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you that I sell caramel apples on my website. I sell caramel apples on my website. Does that entice you to buy? How about this? Smooth, sweet caramel meets crisp, sour apple to create a tantalizing sensation for the taste buds. Now that sounds like something I want to buy.
Now I'm hungry.
I may have to hire her.
I know. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
So writing plays in with the descriptions, as we mentioned, things on the website. I also brought with me a box of my Tiger Butter Fudge. Have you ever seen this or had this, Tim?
I don't think I have.
Oh, that looks really good.
Wow.
What does that look like?
Goodness, look
what
at that.
Does that look like to you?
Good. That's what it looks like.
Well, I could tell you that it's Tiger Butter Fudge. It's one of our most popular fudges. I could tell you it is a peanut butter fudge. Or I could tell you it's layers of smooth, rich chocolate fudge with layers of vanilla fudge with ribbons of pure peanut butter.
Wow.
In between the layers of
I'm
fudge.
Sold.
Wow.
This ain't getting any better, is it?
It's not.
So, you know, writing plays a huge part in what we
that.
Do.
I love that. And see, it's a surprise to me because I never know what I'm going to get as an answer. And this is just delightful to hear things like that. Well, what advice would you give to people who might be thinking about starting their own shop or store or business?
Follow your dreams. Follow your heart. You know, we do live in America, and I've always been a big believer in the American dream. Anything is possible. Just make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
My husband once turned to me and said, I like eating bagels. We should open a bagel store. And I looked at him, I go, I don't know the first thing about cooking bagels. I don't think I want to own a bagel shop. So you have to make sure you know what you're getting into. I do love making candy. I love it. I love the creativity behind it. I love coming up with new things. I don't like fixing the AC unit when it breaks. I don't like climbing up on the roof to fix my stereo antenna. I don't like to clean out under the fridge units and all the jobs that come along with being a business owner. I don't like sitting down to pay the bills, really, but I do it. I do it all. But more than anything, I love making the candy, and I hope that I get enough enjoyment out of making the candy that I'm willing to suck it up and do the other jobs that need to happen to have the business run smoothly.
And I love that point that Julia just made, is that a lot of people think, I love doing this thing, and so I'll open a business doing this thing, without realizing that that thing that you love only takes up, you know, probably 20% of your time, that you've got all these other things that you have to do. Have you found that you actually enjoy some of the other activities as well?
Probably not as well. I enjoy interacting with customers and hearing their stories. I am a very analytical person. I went to Georgia Tech, so I can sit down and pay bills and do math and run reports. I actually have a very fancy system that I don't put to use as well as I should my point of sale system. And I was just playing around with it the other day, running reports I've never run before. And I discovered that in 2011, we made over 29,000 truffles.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That's just a report I've never run. I thought, hey, I'm going to see how many truffles we sold in 2011. And this number popped up. And I was like, I wonder if that's right. Can that be right? I suppose it can be right. And the best part about that, you asked me earlier if I have staff who helps. I'm like, I don't know. I might have made 500 truffles in 2011. I did not make many truffles in 2011. So I'm thinking to my staff member, Joy, God bless you, Joy. Thank you for being there to make all those truffles and help me out.
Oh, that's great.
And my mom, too. She's mm-hmm. she's a big truffle maker at the store as well.
Are you planning to opening any stores? Are there any future franchising, anything like that?
My family dreams of having a beach property or some kind of tourist town to really have fun in the summer months, I guess. So we'll see. We'll see. Anything's a possibility.
All right. So how do people contact you?
Well, there's all sorts of ways. You can like me on my Facebook page at facebook.com/CJCandyCo. You can find me online, cjcandy.com. I've got a 1-800 number, which is 1-88-51-CANDY. And, of course, our brick-and-mortar store is located at 3605 Sandy Plains Road in Marietta, Georgia. Does that cover it all?
That covers it all. You done good.
I actually printed a business card last year and distributed it out on Tech Campus, and I looked down at it halfway through the event, and I went, well, I'm definitely a Georgia Tech grad. I've got my QR code, my website, my physical address, but nowhere on here is my actual phone number for people to contact me.
Well, of course.
My Facebook, my webpage, my Twitter, everything, but not my phone number.
So you're willing to sit by while we interview our next guest?
I would love to. Thank you.
Great. Doug Meadows, welcome.
Thank you.
So David Douglas Jewelry has a long history, though not necessarily by that name. Talk to us about that.
Well, my grandfather got us into this in 1926 up in Michigan, and my dad and uncles kind of took over the business, and then me and my brothers kind of came into it as summer part-time help to get a little spending money, mm-hmm. and the more I learned, the more I enjoyed, and at first, my dad didn't want me to be in this business. He's like, go to college, get an education, go do something else, don't get in the jewelry business, and the more that I learned and the more that I saw the creative side of it, and then the more that I saw that I wasn't just selling a bauble, I was selling a stone of a remembrance,
mm-hmm.
That it usually commemorates something very special in someone's life. And once I entered the retail side of the business, because my grandfather was more in the wholesale side, it just got really exciting. The thing I hated was Michigan. I hated the cold and snow. And so I left there in 82 and came to Atlanta and opened up my first store in Cumberland Mall when I was 23 years old and was clueless what I was doing.
And you did it in Cumberland Mall, which was a big one.
It was, yeah.
Well, and Cumberland was kind of outside of the main. I mean, it was a little bit outside of everything in 82.
Yes.
I came in 81, and it was... I mean, Atlanta was very different than it is now, but that was a good spot to start. It was really at the edge of really expanding and booming.
Right. They were just celebrating, I believe, their 10-year anniversary, and they were going through a big remodel in the whole mall, and, you know, we just kind of took over an existing space that was there, me and a partner that I had met up in Michigan, actually,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of went for it. We begged, borrowed, and stole from family and friends, and successfully ran it into bankruptcy after a couple of years.
Oh, so. I see. Well, what kind of memories do you have of your grandfather and his work and all of that?
My grandfather, I never really got to see him work, per se.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I was just talking to my dad, just left for Florida for the winter,
mm-hmm.
and so I was talking to him just a little bit the other day, and I said... you know, Dad, I said, I remember as a little kid we going to Florida and seeing Grandpa work, and we came out of there, and I was probably 10 or 12 years old, and I said, isn't Grandpa too old to be doing this? And my dad said, as long as he can fix his mistakes, he can still work.
I like that. I like that. Well, you know, my grandfather started A.L. Morrison and Son, singular, Lumber Company, because... my dad was going to work with his dad,
mm-hmm.
and my dad continued it, only he changed it, thank God, to Morrison Lumber Company, and I ran the other way. What motivated you to stay in the family business?
Well, I really didn't stay per se in the family business. I worked with my dad and uncle. My uncle was not the most pleasant gentleman to work for, and so I started, my older brother was working for a jeweler down in Dearborn, Michigan, in a retail location, and so I started traveling there. My dad's shop was open till about 5, and my brother's shop that he was working in was in a mall, so it was open between as late as 9 or even 10 during mm-hmm. the holidays. So I would leave my first job and drive on down to Dearborn and go work in Fairlane Town Center, which was across the street from the world headquarters of Ford Motor Company.
Oh.
And that was where... I got really excited because he started teaching me more, because my dad and uncle just kind of pigeonholed me into what they needed done. I mean, it was either, you know, cleaning the toilet, scrubbing the floors, doing the simple service work, or polishing the jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very good and needed foundation and building block. But it gets old after a while.
Oh, sure,
and
it does.
And then my brothers, you know, taught me how to set my first diamond and taught me how to carve my first wax and how to create the first piece of jewelry. And that got, you know, a lot of fun when I started doing all that. So,
and you still do that?
It has changed over the years. We don't carve waxes like we used to. Mm-hmm. We have switched over into technology, and we use CAD/CAM now. And my son is actually the driver of the CAD side of the business. His name's Joseph. He started working for me when he was about 10, 11, doing the computerized engraving. And then at 13, I asked him, you know, would you be interested in learning this CAD/CAM stuff? You know, I know you're only 13, but and I don't know what you'll change your mind tomorrow, but you interested? He goes, oh, yeah, sure. To him, it was like a video game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was easy. So at 13, we went on up to Davenport, Iowa to go through training.
Wow.
And so he began learning CAD/CAM. He's now 21. He's won one national competition for best render. And
wow.
So he's very established now in the designing side of the business. We from that technology, we still can actually manufacture or create the whole ring in-house, which is not very many jewelers can do that. A lot of them have to farm it out or ship it out somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so we've invested in not only the software but also the hardware to take that out of the computer and create a physical piece of it. And so it's been a lot of fun working side by side with my son and not having to hand carve a wax anymore. The hand carving was good, but there's nothing like a CAD/CAM piece to where the stones all fit perfectly, and you're just happy with all the lines on it, and it's, you know. But what's been real funny, the shift has been from this precision back to organic look and feel. And so it's really hard to do that in CAD because everything's so precise.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you get an organic look and feel? And so they have now developed some new tools to help us with that.
Oh, good.
So, Doug, I'm curious with the if somebody comes to you and they want a special piece designed,
mm-hmm.
what kind of things do they bring to you to start that conversation, and how does that process go?
It's going to be a variety of ways. Some of the ways, you know, once they walk in the door, we're trying to establish what it is that they want. And we call it our three C's. It's choose, change, or create. So there may be something in the showcase that they'd like to just choose, and we allow them to do that. Maybe there's something in the showcase that needs a little bit of changing to it, and so we'll do some slight modifications and change it. If all of those are exhausted, then we go to the creation of it. And it could be a variety of things. It may be that they've already brought in an idea. It may be that they have no idea what they want, and then we have to discover what they want. It may be that they see a few different pieces in the showcase. I like an aspect of this ring, but I like parts of this ring, and then we kind of put it all together for them. It may be that they just inherited a bunch of stones from their mom or from grandma, and they're trying to recreate a stone of remembrance out of all that. You know, engagement rings, we get a lot to where either the kids have inherited a center stone or maybe just some side stones. And we help them to incorporate that into the design to recycle what they have.
So is there kind of a minimum price point that they're that is needed for them to be able to create something new?
Yeah. You know, we do a lot of just plain wedding bands, anywhere from about $350 to $450. To where we're actually taking maybe some old gold of theirs and recreating it into a whole new piece. Because a lot of times we can actually recycle their old metal back into the product. And then once you get up into maybe an engagement ring or something a little bit more complicated, you'd start at probably about $750 for something like that. Probably an average is about $1,200 to $2,000 that we see, you know, most of the designs falling within right now.
That's really much more affordable than I would have thought
definitely.
A custom piece.
Where are your vendors from? How do you keep the cost down, and where do you get all your materials from?
One of the things I've learned over the years is to partner with my vendors and to have not a ton of them, but to have a few of them that are really important. Probably one of my biggest vendors that's important to me is called Stuller Settings. They're out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Matt Stuller is the founder and owner of that company, and he can supply me with just about anything I need, from the raw metal to findings, little tiny parts, to diamonds, to whatever I need. We do occasionally go, right now we're going about 3 to 4 times a year over to Antwerp. A lot of your diamonds are going to be mined out of Africa in the rough, but then they have to be cut. So a lot of them go up to Antwerp, Belgium, to where they're cut and faceted up there, and then we go there and buy direct from the cutters. We've pooled together a bunch of jewelers here in the southeast so that we get the buying power that the big boys get, and put all that together. So a variety of different places.
Okay. That was going to lead me to my next question, how you compete with the bigger jewelers out there, yeah, that we always hear, and how do you get most of your business? Is it word of mouth or advertising or...
I mean, the majority of our business is going to be a referral because it's a trust-based business. And but we do love marketing and advertising, and we do a lot of that, and a lot of events, you know, to just make aware of different things that we do.
Yeah, I think of, excuse me, every kiss begins with K, and he went to Jared's. So what does David Douglas have to say?
I mean, our biggest new thing is called For Always. You know, that whatever you're doing, it's for always.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other tagline that I love, when I call it my elevator speech. Somebody asks me what I do. I tell them I help men get out of trouble, and I turn them into a hero.
That's nice.
That is a good one.
We're also your local hardware store for women. So.
I like that one.
Those are good, aren't they?
Those are really good. And I think the For Always, I think that's such a nice resonator. And when you were talking about the sentimental attachments that people have to mm-hmm. family jewelry and then being able to make it something into their own, I think what a great way to do that, to mm-hmm. take something that has been in your family and has lots of memories, but being able to change it a little bit so that it really reflects your tastes in this current time as well.
Yeah.
Well, I actually did that with you guys about 4 months ago. I have had my dad's ring, which was his original wedding ring, only it wasn't a standard kind. It was just a ring with a stone on top of a soldier or something like that. And I just remember Dad wearing it ever and always. But then he replaced it with a Masonic shrine ring along the way. But I got it. My dad had big fingers, and even when I weighed my most, it still would slip off, so I brought it in for you guys to resize it so mm-hmm. that I can wear it. And I didn't know that it was dirty. I just figured it was kind of like bronzed or whatever, brazed or something, and
right.
I thought, about, man, it was gorgeous, and it's just... I learned, and it's a delight to be able to wear that now and know that it won't fall off.
That's great.
Yeah. So the question to you, what part does writing play in your business?
Well, it plays a lot. I mean, anywhere from the websites to email communications. But one of the things that we started doing about 10 years ago is my mom had passed away of cancer 22 years ago. And to kind of commemorate her and the different things that my dad taught me to honor my mom, I wanted to carry that on down to the children in our community. And so we do a writing contest called Dazzling Diamonds for Mom.
Wow.
And we ask the kids to write and tell me, why does their mom deserve a diamond? And so we give away 3 diamonds. And the other thing that, as a kid growing up myself, I would enter different contests, and I always wondered, does anybody ever win these things?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure that the kids saw that somebody in their class won.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do what we call Best of Class Award, and they all get we pick a free gemstone that they get to get for that. And
wow.
So these past years, we've been getting probably on the average about 10,000 kids writing and telling us why their mom deserves a diamond.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And one of the things also, I was not a very good writer as a kid. I couldn't spell, and I didn't know all my grammar properly. And so we make sure that we're not judging these on spelling or grammar, but on the meaning and
mm-hmm.
what's the thought behind it and the
mm-hmm.
story behind it is what we're after.
Wow.
And I'm just glad I don't have to do all the judging and all the reading. We get a lot of volunteers that help us read through all those and grade them out and stuff. So.
Wow. And how do people get in, or how do the kids learn about this?
We started with grassroots efforts with Cobb County, and basically just emailing and sending packets to teachers, and the teachers are a big part of the help of all this
mm-hmm.
To make it successful. And so we basically have targeted Cobb County schools and a little bit of Cherokee school because we're kind of up in that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And just invite them, you know, to participate if they want to. We do have a website for it called DazzlingDiamondsForMom.com.
Wow.
And, you know, so anybody, you know, we're looking for mainly classrooms to participate.
Mm-hmm.
But any classroom can participate.
What's the most challenging aspect of your business?
Well, when people ask me what keeps me up at night, I tell them payroll on Friday. And you know, I really don't know. I mean, it's Julie talked about balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always. I have a couple of business coaches, and we look at balance or blending. You know, mm-hmm. how to make sure you're spending the right amount of time with your family and.
Mm-hmm.
And not working yourself to death, because just like Julia, it's a joy and it's a pleasure, and it's you get consumed with what you're doing, and before you know it, you're looking at your watch, and it's either you know really late or you know you've gone in really early,
mm-hmm.
And your time just flies by, but it's not a drudgery; it's a real joy.
It's hard. And you're expanding right now.
We are. We've been really blessed to get the space next to us and double the size of our store, which will be, we've got a grand opening coming up right after Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And so we're real excited about that.
Making Black Friday special?
Black Fridays are mainly for the malls.
That's true.
I've never experienced much of that in the years that I've been in business mm-hmm. with jewelry anyways.
Mm-hmm. But you'll be ready for a big influx of Christmas shoppers.
Always, yes. Yes, and so we're really, really excited. We have the Thursday after Thanksgiving, we have a tradition where we do a ladies' night out.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to make the guy a hero.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be in trouble, but he still needs to come home being a hero. And and he needs some help, and he needs some help from his wife. She needs to tell him what to get her.
Mm-hmm.
So many guys have tried to buy jewelry for their wives, and mm-hmm. And as much as they try, a lot of times they don't get it just right. And so 6 months after Christmas came, he asked her, honey, where's that piece of jewelry I got you for Christmas? And she's either going to say, well, I didn't really like it, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings. And so we do a ladies' night out to where they come in and fill out a wish list and pick out several items.
Mm-hmm.
And put that on the wish list so that when the guy comes in, he has several choices to pick from. But it's still a little bit of a surprise for her as far as that she's going to get it or which one she's going to get.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That is. Well, how do people contact you?
Well, since this is internet-based, probably the best way is just go to our website, daviddouglas.com.
Mm-hmm.
All of our contact information's there, and our Facebook and Twitter and all that, because I can't memorize all that stuff.
That's understandable. Well, I'm going to open up the mics now so that you two can talk directly if you would like to, ask questions of each other, challenge Vanessa and me. We're just going to sit back and talk.
And I actually have a question for both of you, and both of you talked a little bit about this as we were talking with you, but what I do is marketing, and so I'm always interested in the things that people are doing now for marketing because there's so many different ways to market. So I would love to hear about what you feel like are the most successful ways to market, and also for each of you to talk a little bit about the things you're doing together, because I know, Julia, you mentioned before we went on air that you all actually do some cross-marketing with each other.
That's correct. I can say that David Douglas has phenomenal marketing campaigns. They have a big truck out in front of the parking lot that I see on a regular basis advertising their store, and I'm on their email list, and they do all sorts of promotions to get people involved. There was recently a giveaway, right, Doug,
mm-hmm.
where that you had to get clues from all the various social networking. I thought that was very clever. So Doug's got some very talented people at his disposal who help him to really market his store well, and I've been very impressed with that as a business owner myself.
Yeah, we really enjoy marketing. It's just, I think from making jewelry, my second most biggest passion would be marketing now. You know, we look for synergy within the community. You know, who are different businesses in the area that we can partner with. And Julia's been really gracious and good of working with us, especially with our ladies' night out. We do a lot of fun stuff with her. She's going to be, cooking out up front?
Yeah, this year I've got a brand new nut roaster, so I'm actually going to be out on the sidewalk roasting cinnamon nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you mentioned a tagline that you all use.
Right. Ever since I opened the store, I was on the first set of t-shirts we printed. It was said, if diamonds are a girl's best friend, chocolate must be a close second.
That's perfect. And yeah. How great that a diamond store is just right down the block from you.
Well, what's funny is Julia's old space before she was there was a jewelry store.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And so she tells us that we had to give her a bunch of business cards because people kept coming in, even though she was there, asking for a watch battery changed.
Even to this day, I have been there 8 years, people. 8 years. And we have mostly men, who will walk past 28 feet of candy cases, get to the kitchen, look at us confused when they see all the chocolate and the candy, and they say, "Where do you keep your watch batteries?" And I say, "Six doors down, David Douglas, tell them I sent you."
Do you do other stuff together? Do you ever bring him down to your place?
Well, I make some gigantic chocolate diamonds on occasion, and I've been known to do a couple gift baskets for some VIP customers for him with some of our little chocolate diamonds in there too. And of course, some of the girls come regularly shop in my store.
We like that.
Yeah.
And I, of course, love to browse and take advantage of ladies' night. In fact, I am wearing my number one item off of my wish list last year, which I was happy to receive for Valentine's Day, a double strand of pearls that are just gorgeous.
That's great.
That's beautiful. And one of my best friends is, we call her the bling goddess because she just so loves jewelry. And so she also loves chocolate. So it would be fun for me to get some of the diamond chocolate things to give to her for Christmas. Last year I found some ice cube trays that made little diamonds that she thought was very cool to be able to use for parties.
Ice-shaped ice.
Yep.
Would you be willing to share the story of your husband's wedding band?
Oh, sure. I don't know if Doug even remembers this. Back in 2006, I think it was the first time I came into your store, and Jen was the person I talked to. And I said, "Do y'all ever do any kind of bartering? Because I own the chocolate shop up the street, and I'm in need of a wedding band." And Jen ran some numbers for me, and I think we settled on a price of 293 truffles.
There you go.
And my husband was very happy. I did not show him the wedding band until the day of the wedding. And it was very special because, as you said, your son was doing the engraving. And I remember I thought he was way too young to be sitting behind the machine there. But he did a special engraving in the ring as well, which was, "What would John Wayne do?" But John Wayne's one of my husband's favorites.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
favorite actors.
That's great.
That is cool.
Well, I know what I'm getting my girlfriend for Christmas now, so I've got a 1-2 punch combo.
Yeah.
There you go.
One-stop shop.
And Kevin's going to be a hero.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if she listens to this show, she's going to be wondering just exactly what it's going to be like from which store. Keep that in mind. You may have put yourself in a problem here. Well, you know what's happened, Vanessa?
I know. It goes so fast. It's so hard to believe that we're right at the end of the show.
I have a special coupon code that I'd like to share.
Go for it.
I can't believe I forgot to mention it earlier. On my website, cjcandy.com, any listeners out there can use the coupon code RADIO, RADIO, and get 10% off their next web purchase.
Oh, and that's such an easy code to remember. I love that.
Why don't you give your contact information again? Okay?
Sure. That's chocolatejewels.com or cjcandy.com for those of you who are too lazy to type the full thing out. And again, both Doug and I are located at 3605 Sandy Plains Road in the Highland Plaza Shopping Center. That's at the intersection of Sandy Plains and Shalaford Road in beautiful East Cobb, Marietta.
It's about 2 miles south of the intersection of 92 and Sandy Plains Road.
That's right.
In your turn, what do you want to share with the folks? Give us your contact information again. Talk about the ladies' night out if you want to. A little bit more. Push yourself. Okay?
All right. Well, our website is daviddouglas.com. My brother's Dave. I'm Doug. We kind of put our two first names together. And and got the David Douglas out of it. But DavidDouglas.com's got all of our good stuff there. Ladies Night Out is coming up the Thursday after Thanksgiving. I believe it's November 29th.
That is correct.
And that's also our celebration of our grand opening or grand expansion. So the 29th, the 30th, and the 1st. And we'll be having a contest enter win a $5,000 custom design piece. If you come out those 3 days, you can enter to win our contest that we got going on. And I don't know, just, you know, community has been a lot of fun for me. And between our Dazzling Diamonds for Mom, we also do a fun thing with six of our local high schools. We were contracted by the Hula Bowl to create a flip coin. Wow. For them. And so we took that same idea and have taken that on down to the high school level. And so we make a 1 ounce silver coin with each school's logo and different things on that and present it to the head coach. We do it commemorative, so we date the year on it and give three of those to the head coach every year. And then homecoming, we figured that the homecoming queen deserved a diamond pendant, but I didn't want to have to figure out what that looked like. And so we have the kids design that for us.
Oh, wow.
We have a drawing for diamonds contest, and they design the diamond pendant. We then take the top three. My son renders them in the computer, and then they do a text to vote, and they pick the winner. And then we get to produce that and present it to the homecoming queen at homecoming on the
oh, wow.
field at that night. And so it's just been a lot of fun to be involved in the community, always looking for other ideas for the community that we can be a part of and participate in.
Well, thanks. Thanks for sharing all that. Well, thank you, Kevin, for co-hosting and keeping me on track.
No problem, anytime.
And Vanessa, it's a delight to have had you in here.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad I was able to be here today.
It was fun. Well, we welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. And if you'd like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. You can do that by sending us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. And you can learn more about Right Choice Services and how we help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write at www.write, of course, that's WRITE, writechoiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email. Invite them to listen live or to our downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 Eastern Time at writeherightnow.businessradiox. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.